Well, you may have seen an ad on television recently in which a young Indian woman talks about the importance of maintaining clean air, water, and land. It's really well done. And the Forest County Potawatomi community has launched a statewide media effort. Of course, that ad is part of that effort. And what they would like to do is raise public awareness of the importance of sustaining our natural resources and maintaining the health of our resources here in Wisconsin and everywhere else for that matter, but of course zeroing in a bit on Wisconsin. We have invited, and he's accepted, Jeff Crawford to come be with us. Jeff is the Forest County Potawatomi Attorney General. So he's with us to talk about this effort to bring attention to climate issues, and we'll talk climate issues with him today and a bit about the Potawatomi community as we visit with him. You'd like to join in, you can do that easily. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. And Jeff Crawford with us by phone. Sir, thank you very much for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
What prompted the Potawatomi to mount this campaign, which is, I believe, running in every market in the state?
It is running statewide, and the reason is that we are focusing on the Global Warming Task Force report from the governor and the recommendations that were made to the state legislature. We were the only Indian tribe to be sitting on that task force and are pretty familiar with the recommendations, and we support those recommendations, and we hope that the state legislature also supports them this coming fall.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, maybe you could talk a bit about the Forest County Potawatomi Reservation. Give us some background on it.
Our main reservation is located in Forest County, Wisconsin, about 90 minutes north of Green Bay. We've got about, I'd say, 15,000 acres of forested land in that area. But interestingly enough, historically, the tribe's traditional area was along Lake Michigan, and including from the tip of Door County over as far south as the northern Illinois, which is why we have our land in trust in Milwaukee. It's basically old Potawatomi campsites. And so we are quite literally located on both sides of the state of Wisconsin.
Well, I think there was something like, weren't there something like 50 treaties which once extended from Lake Erie around the shores of Lake Michigan?
Yeah. The Potawatomi, we think, have signed more treaties than any other Indian tribe in the country. We have well over 40 treaties that were signed, and in fact, one of our first treaties go back to the early 1790s, right after the Constitutional Convention. And so we have a governmental relationship with quite a few of the presidents, early presidents.
As you see it, what are the problems caused by global warming from your perspective?
Sorry about that. I've got a cell phone ringing here. I'm trying to turn it off.
Oh, that's okay.
And so somebody's probably calling me and saying, hey, Jeff, you're on the radio. your question is the problems that we've seen with global warming.
Mm-hmm.
It really comes down to listening to what our elders have been telling us, and that is they need pure air and pure water and pure plants in order to practice their beliefs. And they have been seeing that they cannot get the clean air and the clean water and the clean plants. And so that's their observation. That's what we are listening to. And then you look at why is that happening. We are in northern Wisconsin, for instance, and we have some of the cleanest air in the state, and yet there are fish advisories and so on and so forth. And so it all comes down to pollution. and the global warming issues. And so we've taken what the elders said as a concern and come up with a policy and a strategy for our government to try to clean up the environment.
Well, I want to get into some of those strategies and some of the answers that you have. But I have callers online here. Let's go to Craig in Boulder Junction first. Craig, let's turn to you. Hello.
Hello. My question is, I just like to know how the Potawatomi are doing with this spearing that goes on in the North Woods. I live up here in Boulder Junction, and I still have a bad taste in my mouth with the hundreds and thousands of fish that the tribes up here are harvesting right during the peak of their spawning season. And I sure, you know, I go along with saving the environment and all that, but I just can't see how they're doing when they're raping the environment by taking the fishery. We used to have quite a walleye fishery up here, but since this spearing is all happening and the methods they're using in today's, the way they're doing it and how they're harvesting it, and I've seen walleye fishing just deplete to zero.
All right, well, let's get a response from Jeff. It's a little off our topic in some ways not.
Well, thanks for letting me start with an easy one here, Larry. and so, well, first of all, hunting and fishing and gathering rights of tribes were an inherent right that they had that was recognized in the negotiations with the federal government through treaties. And so the tribes that have retained their hunting and fishing rights are the ones, for instance, in northern Wisconsin, the Chippewas, who have an agreement with the federal government that that is their right, which is recognized in the courts. Mm-hmm. Now, let's focus on the Potawatomi. The last treaty that the Potawatomi signed was the Treaty of Chicago in 1833. And so our territory that we gave up in that treaty, again, is from the northern tip of Door County to the eastern shore of Lake Winnebago, south to the Chicago area. And so bottom line is that we do not participate in the spearing that you see in the northern part of the state because that is not our treaty territory. And so how does that all relate back to global warming issues? It's kind of ironic in that the tribes have an inherent right to do that spearing, to gather that fish. But because of the mercury and the pollution, it's almost it's bittersweet because, yes, they are asserting their rights, but they are also eating tainted fish. Now, jump back over to the state of Wisconsin and their negotiations with the tribes. I do believe that they have an agreed-upon protocol for the spearing of the fish, and it seems to me that it's working just fine.
Let's talk about get back on global warming here a little bit. You sat, the tribes was a member of the governor's task force on global warming. But first, what answers do you have for critics of the theory of global warming who refuse to just say, well, there isn't a problem?
Well, I think that to say that there isn't a problem is as incredibly naive as you could possibly believe. I believe that there is a lot of debate on what has caused the global warming. But I think, scientifically speaking, there is no debate on whether it's actually here. And the answer is yes, it's here. So the question is then, what do you as an individual, what does the state of Wisconsin and what does the United States do to address the fact that our environment is warming? And so you can't bury your head in the sand on this one. It's going to impact you one way or another. And so you might as well get ahead of that curve and do something proactively.
How did you come up with the idea for your ad campaign?
It's one of the things, if you see our commercials, we wanted to let people know that we as a tribe, and especially our elders, have very strong beliefs about the environment and in protecting the environment. And so we wanted to make reference to our elders and their beliefs. But you also notice that we put one of our tribal member children up there. Mm-hmm. Because this is, in our minds, a generational thing, where we want to be able to pass those beliefs on to our children and their children and so on. And so it's basically an introduction to the people of the state of Wisconsin that we as a tribe are supportive of cleaning up the environment, and where the commercials go from there is yet to be seen, because we have to see when the legislation gets introduced in Madison this fall.
Our guest today is Jeff Crawford, Forest County Potawatomi Attorney General, as we talk with him about the statewide effort to bring attention to climate issues here in Wisconsin. And he'll be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking about a statewide effort to bring attention to climate issues in Wisconsin. Our guest, Jeff Crawford, Forest County Potawatomi Attorney General. The Forest County Potawatomi community has launched a statewide media effort to raise public awareness of the importance of sustaining our natural resources and maintaining the health of those resources. Really pleased to have Jeff Crawford with us today. You may want to join in with a question of your own as we talk about these climate issues, and I hope you do. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, and email us at talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. We would love to hear from you. And a caller online who's been waiting a while, so let's just go right to the phones and to Rick in Nakusa. Rick, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. First, I'd like to thank Jeff and the Potawatomis for their effort and the investment in their of their tribe for this effort. I think they're to be commended. When I heard the show, the connection I made was back in the I think early 70s when I was young. Probably the most impactful ad that I remember was about pollution, and it had a Native American character, and basically he was, you know, watching traffic congestion and air pollution and the water pollution, and then kind of at the end of the ad, you know, with kind of a stoic look on his face, you could see kind of a tear, you know, running down his face. And I thought that was an extremely effective, influential ad, and did a great job in increasing people's awareness of, you know, environmental issues. So I guess I'm wondering if there's a connection between that effort, you know, back when it seemed when people, you know, cared about the environment, and kind of things coming full circle, you know, where there's a, you know, real important need to increase people's awareness of kind of what's going on with our environment today.
All right. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it, Rick. Jeff Crawford?
Certainly. I remember that ad myself, and it was impactful. And I wouldn't say things have come full circle. I think it's basically a continuation of that effort. As you recall, in the 1960s and the 70s, there was a great deal of alarm over the state of the environment, and which resulted in all of the federal legislation. And in many respects, things have improved. But we've sort of taken it to the point where we are right now, where if the Earth is warming, there will be other significant impacts on every single individual that we have to now look at changing the laws again and changing our lifestyles to adapt and hopefully to help heal the Earth as we go forward. And that's right where we are right now here in Wisconsin and in the world.
Yeah. Rick, I thank you again for calling. Appreciate your call. And what is the you were talking about the legislature and the legislation. What specific legislation interests you the most this fall?
There were about 60-some recommendations that came out of the Global Warming Task Force, a report from Governor Doyle to the legislature. And, you know, we support all of those recommendations, and it addresses many issues that we think will make life ultimately better for every individual in the state of Wisconsin.
Gary from Green Bay area emailed us with a few questions. He says, what have the Potawatomi done to in their efforts to slow climate change? Have they, for example, he says, have they insulated buildings, maybe installed solar or wind installations? Are the Potawatomi planning on showing how green technology can be used?
That's a very good question, and that's something that we took very seriously. And so a couple of years ago, we started looking at what is our carbon footprint. So we have looked at all of our buildings, and we know how much energy they use and what their carbon footprint is. And then what we did was to go back into every one of our buildings and try to improve their energy efficiencies. And so, yes, the insulation is part of that. Using the right light bulbs and changing those out is something that we've done. We actually, for our tribal government center, went from a 5-day work week to a 4-day work week, which greatly reduced our carbon footprint in the northern woods area. We now are at a point where we get quarterly energy usage and greenhouse gas emission reports that we can benchmark on a prior year. And so I'm proud to say that, for instance, we are 10%. We have our major facilities use 10.2% less energy per gross square foot and had a 17.5% less associated carbon emissions per square foot this year compared to our baseline in 2007. And so that is something we take serious.
Good question. And again, thanks for that email. Judd in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Judd.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Let's see. I had a couple questions. The first one refers to the mercury contamination in the northern part of the state. I know that's not Potawatomi territory particularly, but I had always had the impression that that was primarily from the paper industry. My second question, I don't know if you want to answer this in two parts, do you perceive a difference in the way that the mainstream identifies environmental protection and the way that Native people tend to? In other words, I've always gotten the sense that the mainstream seems to identify resource management, you know, in terms of how it serves humans, whereas Native peoples would tend to identify environmental protection as important in and of itself. That is, you know, animals and things like that have their own value without humans being part of that equation.
Oh. All right. Jeff Crawford, comment?
Well, two things. You know, first of all, focusing on the mercury, that is something that is important to us, and we have actually been studying the mercury issue in our northern reservation areas where we have, in theory, some pristine lakes on our land. And so we've entered into a cooperative agreements with the DNR, and we've funded significant research efforts by Dr. Carl Watrous, a scientist and one of the world's leading researchers on methylmercury formation in the inland waters. So the point is that we have been studying mercury in our lakes, and it's there. We have also been on record as supporting Wisconsin's mercury legislation that was proposed. And so the source of the mercury, I think it's pretty well known that it's coal-fired power plants are the biggest producers of the mercury that's in the air that gets into the water. And so there are other industries that produce the mercury that get into the air, but it's primarily the coal-fired plants. The second question or point had to do with sort of the tribe's mindset versus you know, non-tribal member mindsets. And I think there's a little bit of truth to that because from the tribe's perspective, especially with our elders, it's hard to distinguish religion and cultural practices from the rest of their beliefs because it's just built into the way, especially with the elders, of how they see the world. And there is a symbiotic relationship with nature and the animals and the plants. And there's always a feeling that there should be a respect for nature, and we are part of nature. We are not the kings of nature. Versus, I think, you know, other people think that, again, these are trees that we own, we cut, we use, and the minerals and so on and so forth. But even on that side, I think that the whole notion of sustainability is taking off, where you manage those resources in a good way. We would say in a respectful way. And I think the two mindsets are getting closer.
Hmm. All right. Does that answer your question, Jed?
That sure does. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And you can join in, too, with your question or comment at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. Appreciate your calls and questions. And another caller who called in and wondered about or questioned the use in terms of an environmental point of view of busing people to and from North Star, for example, the casino there, as a burning gas or diesel fuel and so forth as a waste of energy.
Well, busing is a mass transportation, and last time I checked, we didn't force anybody to get on the bus. And in fact, if they weren't on those buses, I suspect that they would be driving their cars individually to facilities like that. And so I think it's probably a good thing in terms of reducing carbon footprint.
You mentioned some of the things that you've done and in terms of saving energy, with some pretty significant energy savings in your own buildings, in your own places. I just wanted to go back to another good example, I think, or a well-known example of your successful fight against the Crandon mine is another example, because I think, I'll let you comment on that.
Yeah, and that was one of the issues that was a long-term issue with the tribe and arguably with the state of Wisconsin, in that the Crandon mine was quite literally going to be in our backyard, and it was in an economically depressed area, and I think initially everyone thought this would be a great economic engine to help produce all the jobs in the northern part of the state. But then the reality started to set in terms of, well, it's at the headwaters of the pristine Wolf River, and it's got all kinds of bad components in it. And the process to take that mineral, those minerals out, was going to be devastating to the environment. And so the tribe, for quite literally decades, opposed the siting of that mine. And recently, in the last say 6 or 7 years, we were able to use some of our economic resources to change the way we were opposing that mine, so that we hired any number of experts, lawyers, and lobbyists, and we challenged every part of that application, to the point where in 2003, we and the Sokakan Chippewa Mole Lake community were able to purchase that mine site. And right now, there is no mine there. It's just a very beautiful wooded area with streams running through it.
Yeah. And I guess, as you point out, I guess it had the potential really to impact thousands of acres, perhaps, of wetlands and, of course, billions of gallons of groundwater and surface area waters.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact that it was on the headwaters of the Wolf River was significant in itself. But it was also kind of interesting to note that the Wolf River ultimately would have led down into, I think, Lake Winnebago and the Fox River,
yeah.
Which was, at the time, there was a big effort, and still is a big effort, to clean up all of the PCBs that were in there. And I think that's still an ongoing effort.
Yeah.
And it would have been very disappointing, I think, to many people in the state to know that all that money spent on PCBs only then cleaned the river up to the point where the contaminants from that mine would then start flowing in.
Yeah. Holly in Kenosha, we turn to you now. Hi, Holly.
Hi. I want to say thanks for having me, and thanks very much to the Forest County Potawatomi for working on this. I think it's a really important issue, and you bring a really good light to it. I also wanted to say, though, that I've been hearing kind of more and more about the task force, and I heard somewhere, I think it was the Conservation Voters, League of Conservation Voters, a woman was telling me that they're working on trying to make the bill stronger, so kind of taking the governor's task force recommendations but then making it an even stronger bill by increasing the renewable standards for in-state. I want to know if you knew anything about that or how you feel about that.
Yes. One thing you need to understand about the Global Warming Task Force is that it was a the representative groups were all over the board in terms of representing their sectors, and so virtually every utility was represented. There were major industries that were represented, environmental groups, schools, professors, and one Indian tribe. And so that and that thing took a lot longer than any of us had ever anticipated. And it was based on scientific evidence, the best available that we had. And so I can tell you for a fact that it was a compromise document, and everyone at some point had to hold their nose and vote for something. And so individually, there are things that many people would want to change on those recommendations. And there are going to be people that say it should be stronger, and there are people that are going to say it should be not so strong. But we are holding steadfast to the fact that it was a compromise document, and we want to move forward with the document as a whole, the recommendations as a whole. And there are things in there we don't like, for instance, but we want to march forward with it as it is.
Hmm. Okay, right. Yeah, well, thank you for the response. I think that's a good, yeah, when you said utilities, I got a little nervous, but now that yep. you say it's a compromise, I think that makes a little more sense so that everybody can fight for stronger things, too. So thank you for that advice.
Right.
All right, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@WPR.org. We would love to hear from you and some more callers online. So let's go back to the phones. And Don in Madison up next. Don, hello to you.
Hi, Larry John. I had a question for him, but can I make a comment? I know you're talking about global warming and pollution and so on and so forth. And the Midwest Regional Rail System, I miss listening to good old Rodney Cronin talk about that on the radio because I know that rail systems in Europe and how well they work compared to here in the U.S. But my question is the idea of carbon credits, worldwide carbon credits globally, is this a viable program, and how well does your guest feel it's working? I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Carbon credits.
Well, you know, the whole notion of cap and trade and credits is a new notion, at least here in the United States. The fact of the matter is that there are voluntary markets that are out there internationally and that are operating and do work. I'm not saying that they're flawless. The trick to making the entire system work is to make sure that some of the biggest polluters in the world participate, and that would be us. There are other countries, obviously, but if we don't participate in this cap and trade world, then it's not going to be nearly as effective. And it's really an interesting concept in that, you know, we look at individuals or companies or cars and how much they pollute, and we can measure that. And we basically say there's only so much you can do under this permit. And for that, you have to pay for this permit. And if you produce less pollution, then that becomes a commodity that you can trade. And then the hope being is that once you count it and you limit it, then you can slowly but surely start reducing what is getting spewed out into the air. And so it's clearly the future and one of the hardest issues that have to be tackled in this legislation.
Yeah. How are you going? How is the Potawatomi community going to approach this legislation? Will you be doing some, let's say, lobbying, or what do you plan to do as a group?
Yes, and so what we're trying to do is to bring general awareness on the issue right now with the current media campaign and the website, and then you know, we'll do. What many people and organizations do. We're going to go into the field and do our polling and figure out what people understand and what's important to them. And then we will come out with other phases to our media campaign, and we will be walking the halls of Madison. We think that there is general support, very good support statewide. You know, the question is, once you get in the closed doors in Madison, you know, politics takes over. And so you have to be in that game in order to protect your interests and also the people of the state of Wisconsin.
What has been the reaction, or have you received any reaction to the television commercial campaign that you've had, and just for those who may have tuned in late, you may have seen the television commercials in which a young Indian woman talks about the importance of maintaining clean water and land, and that campaign was launched by the Forest County Potawatomi community. Any feedback from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been mostly positive. We've had any number of hits on our web page, and we try to keep that web page updated. And we have interesting articles, and focus people's attention, and so we're feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, and the website. Give us the website.
It is endglobalwarmingwi.com.
Or is it
endglobalwarming. WI.com.
Is it .com or .org?
I think it's .com.
Can try. Okay, .com. So End Global Warming WI, for Wisconsin, .com. That's the, I should have gone on there again and taken a look myself. I haven't looked at it for a bit. Jeff, I thank you very much for being with us today. I appreciate it, and we'll look forward to another visit, hopefully. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Jeff Crawford, Forest County Potawatomi Attorney General, as we talked about these climate issues here in Wisconsin and what his community is doing to work to resolve or solve them. So pleased to have him with us today. Tomorrow we'll take a look at The People of the Sturgeon with Kathy Klein and Ron Bruck, two authors of the book of the same name. And then we'll talk with a DNR bat expert. Stay with us. Lots in store.